Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Interesting show in store for you today. The Barn Players are with us. They're going to be talking about their annual 6x10 Playwrights Festival. Then in the second half of the show, Julie Danielson from Music Theater Kansas City. She will talk about two of the December shows they have coming up. First, The Barn, in their new facility, the Arts Asylum at 9th and Harrison, 1000 East 9th Street. That's where they've been for, boy, has it been a year yet?
December 15th was our big move, one of the coldest days of last year.
Wow. That was the voice of Vita Bikala. She is the president of the board of the Barn Players and has been for, boy, how long now, Vita?
I think I'm on year 10 of a two-year stint.
Well, it works like that sometimes in community theater. Lynn Reddick is with us as well. He is the assistant artistic director of the Barn. He is on Theater in the Park Advisory Council,
or was
at one time. Also, with the board president of the Heartland Men's Chorus. You heard Dustin Cates on the show last week. Also on this committee that decides who gets picked for the 6x10.
Exactly. We put out an open call to all playwrights within a 300-mile radius of Kansas City, although we tend to get mostly Kansas City playwrights that submit stuff, and we normally get around 40 submissions. That varies a little from year to year, and we have a committee of three people who read the plays. It's a blind reading. We have no idea who wrote them. We read all the plays, and then we rank them, and then we get together and fight for who are our favorites, and then we pick the six that we're going to do in December.
And they have the six picked, and this will happen this Friday, December 7th at 7:30 p.m., Saturday the 8th at 7:30 p.m., and a Sunday afternoon matinee, if you prefer your theater in the afternoon, at 2 o'clock p.m. At the Barn's new home, the Arts Asylum, 1000 East 9th Street, essentially the intersection of 9th and Harrison. When I went last week, I noticed there was a lot of construction on the area, so any tips as to how they can get in there?
If you're coming from the east, as I do, the easiest is exiting I-70 at the Paseo and heading north and turning left on 9th Street, and it's just a straight shot from there. Otherwise, from the north, you can come in I-35 and exit the Paseo and turn right on 9th Street, or take 71 Highway there. Unfortunately, right now, the 9th and the 10th Street bridges are closed to construction. So if you're coming from the west, you may need to do a little finagling.
Yeah, as you look to the west, when you're in front of the Arts Asylum, you can see the glittering lights of downtown and the Power and Light District, but you have the freeway in between.
So yes.
You have to go around, and probably the Paseo.
And the Kansas City Police Annex right there.
Well, you know, it's northeast Kansas City, but it was very nice. The attendant directed me around the bend and over to the parking lot. So
yes.
It wasn't difficult at all.
For every performance, there are two security guys out front to help with parking, and parking is ample, either on the street, if you get there fairly early, or across the street at the Masonic Temple parking lot to the south.
Yeah, you've done some remodeling, and it really looks good.
It's beautiful. It's a real theater.
And it's a big stage. In fact, it's a bigger stage than what you've had before, I think.
Well, actually, the stage itself is probably comparable to what we had in our previous location, maybe even a little smaller. But with each production, the director has the opportunity to build out or to the sides.
That means essentially what? Six shows, but no longer than 10 minutes?
10 minutes-ish. We've had shows as long as, one year we had a show that ran 17 minutes. It was actually a show that was originally written as a one act, and the playwright couldn't quite edit enough to get it down to 10 minutes. And we actually had one show that was, I think, about 6 minutes long. But 10 minutes is what we aim for, give or take a little.
Did they have to get permission for you to go a few minutes over?
No, we can tell when we read them that they are a little long or a little short. If it's long because it just seems to be padded, then we might say to the playwright, hey, can you cut this? But if it's all the one that was 17 minutes was a comedy, it was all funny. So, you know, let's laugh for 17 minutes.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
So there's six of them, and I know you want to talk about each one because they don't have to be a new author, but it can't be a work that's been done before, correct?
Right, right. And actually, because we do these as a blind reading, we actually do end up with some playwrights that we've had in previous festivals. But the work itself is brand new and hasn't been seen before. So
they pick their six. Arduous process, it sounds like.
It is, but it's fun, and it's fun. The whole process is fun because inevitably, as I mentioned earlier, we all have different favorites. We have sometimes friendships almost end because you're so horrified at what someone else likes that you can't even envision it. And then, of course, what's fun is then to watch it come on stage. And oftentimes ones that you really liked when you read them, you don't like as well on stage, or ones that you didn't really care for, when it's real actors up there doing it, you really like it. So the whole process is just fascinating to
watch. Yeah, that happens a lot even here.
And I always tell people when they come to the festival, if you don't like one show, don't worry. It's only 10 minutes long. Wait till the next one. You might like it better, you know. And everybody has different favorites. So it's all just interesting to see how audiences react.
Well, let's hear about some of these shows. All original works.
They're all original works. The first one is Darling Demon Lamb, which is by Krista Eiler, who just had a musical premiere at the Arts Asylum a couple of months ago. It is, I call it, an outtake from The Sound of Music, what you didn't see. So it is a conversation between the nuns about Maria. I won't say any more than that, but it's obviously a comedy. So that's the first one.
Who is the director and who is the author?
The author is Krista Eiler and the director is Craig Aikman.
Has Chris written for you before?
Krista, she wrote Overture, which premiered during the French Festival, and then was done as a full-length show in September. At the Arts Asylum.
What about the director? Do directors get to pick what they do, or do you assign them?
Well, that's the way we do that. Is I send all six shows to all six directors, and I have them rank them from one to six. And somehow, in a miraculous, again, way of people liking different things, I never have to give anyone lower than their second choice.
Oh, really?
And it always seems like I'm waiting on that last one, and they pick a show that has been lower on other people's lists. So that's another part of the process that's fascinating. It's just seeing what people like. And I, some of these directors I've worked with, and I kind of try to predict what they're going to like. I'm always wrong.
You're always wrong.
I'm always wrong. They like something else.
Really? Okay. Well, what's up next?
Next is another comedy called Speak Now, written by J.O. Grimm, directed by Caitlin Tormina. And it is also a comedy, and it is about a wedding where the bride-to-be's sister is trying to convince her that she should not get married. And, of course, there's a twist, as there always is. This is Caitlin's first time directing for us. J.O. Grimm is, I think we've done one of her shows before. I think it's a second time.
So they keep submitting for you.
They do, and, of course, sometimes they'll submit a play a second time, they'll revise it,
Oh, that's allowed to revise and resubmit.
Yes, I can only think of one time that we actually selected something that had been picked for. Sometimes they don't revise them at all, they just submit them again, and I don't quite understand that, but I guess they really like that piece of work. I had not seen any of these yet. I will not see them until tonight when we start Tech Week. So that is when I will see them for the first time. And so I read them all, and I saw the auditions, but I haven't actually seen the finished product yet.
Is there an overall theme to the shows, or just...
There is not. We've talked about that before, because some play festivals do that. They'll say, here's what your set is, now make a play around this set. Or they'll say, here is a theme. It's about a bomb, and that can be... Mm-hmm. A million ways to do that, but we've never done that. We've talked about doing that, but as it is, we just kind of try to balance out the comedies and the dramas.
Well, this is the 11th annual. When it started, did you envision it turning out like this?
I think we have been very surprised by its success, and you know, they say flattery is the sincerest I mean, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And when we started doing this, we were kind of the only game in town. And now a lot of other theaters in Kansas City do short play festivals, one-act festivals, original work. So it's great to give authors more avenues, but, you know.
Yeah, where are those new playwrights coming from? Well, things like this.
Yeah, yeah. And we've been very proud of the fact that some of the folks who did their first show as a part of the 6x10 have gone on now and have one-acts and full-length plays done all over the country.
And that goes for the performers as well.
Right.
I remember when Kathy Barnett, well-known here in town, played shows at the Barn.
Right, right. So it's and the 6x10, we also try to encourage new directors. They're not all new directors, but we do use it as a good venue for a new director that doesn't have a lot of experience. You know, 10 minutes is pretty manageable. So
sure, yeah. It's not, but you have to get your message in within those 10 minutes, and that is probably difficult, especially if you're a writer that likes to draw out the mystery.
Well, I always tell playwrights, if I get to the end of your show and I can't tell why you wrote it, then there's a problem. It means you had a clever idea, but you didn't really know why you were writing it.
Uh-huh.
You didn't really have an intent, so.
Okay, well, what about the third one? Are you reading them in order?
Just reading them in a random order. There's no sense to this.
That's the way this program.
There you go. The third one is called Focus. It's written by Leslie Revelle, who we have actually done several of her shows. She gets done a lot around town. Directed by M. Loper. It is, I would call that a Twilight Zone episode. It's about a future state where you can get a chip implanted in your head that allows you to focus on a specific thing and not pay attention to anything else. And as you might guess, that could have negative consequences when you were only focused on one thing and not your surroundings.
It
so.
Could. It certainly could have.
So that's a drama.
Who's directing? Who wrote it?
It was written by Leslie Revelle and directed by M. Loper.
M. Loper, okay.
The next show is called First Anniversary. It is the one-year anniversary of the marriage of Adam and Eve. Obviously a comedy. I guess that could be a drama, but it's a comedy in this case.
It would be better if it were a comedy.
Yeah. It's written by Glendora Davis. This is the first time we've done one of her shows, but almost all these writers are part of the Kansas City writing community, and anybody that goes to shows here in Kansas City knows them. That show is directed by Alexa Chaffee, and again, it's a comedy about Adam and Eve. And
that mysterious apple that's become so controversial.
That people have been arguing since time began. And the next show is called The Swallows. It's by Kevin King. It's written by Kevin King, directed by Andy Perkins, who acts a lot here in town. And it is a serious look at, I don't really know how to describe this. It is a lower income friends, two friends, two lady friends, talking about their lives with having to deal with money issues, opioid issues among family members. It's just kind of a little slice of Americana that gets, I think, satirized a lot, but doesn't get seen seriously a lot.
Remember that.
And then the last show is called Look What the Fire Allowed, which is written by Lewis Morrow, who we have done two or three of his shows, and he's getting to be produced a lot here in town at the Buffalo Room and during the Fringe Festival, directed by Al Higgins. And it is a very contemporary, serious look about the jumping off point is that there's a young African-American teenager who's been shot by a policeman, which is obviously in the news. And this is really about how one person reacts to that. It's not about the actual shooting. We never really know all the circumstances of that. That's just the premise that makes our protagonist take action and the consequences of his action. So it's a great play, and it's a very serious one, obviously.
That's what will be on the boards for the 11th annual 6x10 Playwright Festival. It will happen again on December the 7th, which is this Friday at 7:30 p.m., Saturday the 8th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday the 9th at 2 o'clock p.m. At the Barn Flares facility at the Arts Asylum, 1000 East 9th Street, essentially the intersection of 9th and Harrison Street. The number to call for more information, 913-432-9100. Now, as I recall from last year, tickets available online is not for this particular event.
I believe they can get tickets online, okay. But most people just get them at the door.
It's thebarnplayers.org. And, you see quite a few. How many do you see in there now? It seemed like there was a lot of folks there.
The usual house is set for 163, but we have the opportunity of adding about 20 seats if needed.
It's a nice facility and nice seating, well decorated, the sides and all of that. Was that for the sound?
Yes, yeah. Those are sound cushions.
Yeah, sound cushions. Oh, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. So it should be very interesting for you.
Well, and I'd like to add that anyone who comes to 6x10 this weekend will also have the opportunity to give the gift of live theater for the holidays. We're offering a special deal for our Flex Pass, which is a good deal in and of itself, offering 6 tickets for the price of 4 and some other perks. But if they get their Flex Pass at 6x10, they'll also get 6 free drink tickets, and it all comes in a little holiday gift box that they can hang on the Christmas tree, and for the same amount of money as the usual pass.
Sure. I was sitting next to a Flex Pass family, obviously, because there was 6 of them there. The part about the drinks was probably true, too. They were having a wonderful time.
And everyone has a wonderful time at the barn.
That's happening this weekend. So if you're into new works, this is certainly new work. You'll get a taste of what's in the minds of these playwrights.
Absolutely.
Some of the themes of these shows.
Well, and it also is part of our mission at the barn to nurture the theater artist in practicing their craft. And it's not just the actor on the stage. It's the musician in the pit. It's the writer of the script. It's the person working the spot. So it fits our mission.
Now, speaking of musicians, now, in this previous play you did, Rock of Ages, there was no pit.
They were part of the action. Right.
Now, at your old building, you had to hide the band off on the side or behind.
Once again, like the build of the set, that's up to the director's discretion. And because this was a rock and roll situation, Eric Magnus, the director, just felt it was appropriate to have the band be part of the set.
Yeah. Now, the 6x10 finishes off 2018, but you already have a schedule all ready to go.
We do.
2019.
We do.
And we have a few minutes here. Let's go over those shows. Let's see if we can do that.
Well, we have a lot going on in 2019, but it all starts next week, actually, with our Best Seats Award nomination. That we did this year for the first time, and it's basically to bring some recognition to people in Kansas City who have given their time, talent, and or treasure to make sure that the arts community in Kansas City is thriving. This year we awarded Betsy Sexton, longtime theater educator, Dana Knapp, who's head of Arts KC, Carrie Linehan, who works at the Rep, Nancy Wallerstein, who's been a real champion of the arts on the Kansas side, and Lee Lynch, who runs Arts in Prison. So we're doing that again, and nominations will all be done online for that. Then on January 26th, we have our Barney Awards and Volunteer Appreciation Celebration. This is like one big old class reunion. It is great fun, and we have it's free of charge to anybody who participated in our 2018 season, both volunteers and actors and directors, musicians, anybody who helped us with that. And our Barney judges are very special, and I wanted to give them some recognition. They're all local actors and educators in the arts, directors. John Rensenhaus, Darren Sextro, Paul Huff, Rick Brown, Nancy Marcy, Deb Bluford, and Kathy Barnett, who you mentioned. And these people come to all of the shows, and as Lynn mentioned for 6x10, they fight over their favorites and who is the best and which performances were worthy of recognition. So that's something to look forward to on January 26th. Then we're also keeping our Teacher Thursdays for next season. Any teacher in the Greater Kansas City area can bring their school ID to the second Thursday performance of any of our main season shows and get a $5 discount. So teachers, get out and treat yourself. Then we moved to Kansas City, Missouri last year, but our youth programming stayed on the Kansas side, both Barn Kids and Barn Junior. The juniors are right now in rehearsal for their performance of Roald Dahl's James and the Giant Peach, which will be performed at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center at 87th and Metcalf for four performances on January 17th through the 20th. It's directed by Cassandra Pettigrew, who has been on our stage. She's been a vocal music teacher, I believe, for 8 years, 5 years, at Cure of Ours. So we're anxious to see what she comes up with for the middle school and high schoolers. Then we open our regular adult season, February 21st through March 3rd, with the Full Monty.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Now, everyone talks about
it. For the three of you out there listening who might not know what the Full Monty means, it is a striptease, usually down to full nudity and usually performed by males. Now, the show is rated R, but the Barn did this show, I think it was 12 years ago, 8 years ago. R really should stand for really funny. It's a great show about some Buffalo, New York steel workers who are kind of emasculated because they're unemployed. They got fired from their jobs and they are so bored they follow their wives out for a girls' night out and realize that they were kind of jealous that their wives enjoyed male strippers as much as they did. So they figured out a way they could take advantage of this and lose their inhibitions and make some money besides. And it's really a cute show. That is going to be directed by Corey Childs with music direction by Kevin Bogan. Then we go from Buffalo, New York to Germany for Grand Hotel, the musical, which opens April 25th, running through May 5th, directed by Kevin Bogan, with musical direction by Matthew Richardson. And this is kind of unusual for us because Kevin is usually one of our favorite musical directors. But I remember when he came to his director interview, what impressed me most was he said, this show was a musician's show. And I love that about this show. Beautiful music. Takes place in 1928 Germany in Berlin, in between world wars when the stock market was soaring and life was good, but this is kind of like a glimpse of some of the illustrious people who go through the lobby of the Grand Hotel and some of their loves and murders and issues, and it all takes place in the Art Deco lobby of the Grand Hotel.
Sure.
Then we do our one play of the year. It's The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, directed by Jessica Franz, opening May 23rd, running through June 2nd. And this was performed at the Rep season ago. It's a fabulous play. It is rated R, mainly, I think, for language. About a 15-year-old autistic boy who is a mathematical savant, but he's accused of killing his neighbor's dog, and he kind of goes out of his comfort zone pursuing the murderer, trying to find out who murdered this dog. And it's a fascinating, really thought-provoking play.
Oh, this next one, with the movie and all of that going on, what a perfect time for Mamma Mia.
Opens August 22nd through September 1st. Of course, it's rated PG-13. Directed by Eric Magnus, our artistic director, and musical direction by Michelle McIntyre, based on ABBA music, fabulous. You think you won't like it, you leave singing. I mean, it's a fabulously entertaining.
Who is the father?
Yes, well, who is the
we
father?
We don't learn in this version.
I'm not telling. Then we go from Greece to Paris for Victor Victoria.
Ah, yes.
And I believe this is a community theater premiere in Kansas City. November 14th through the 24th, rated PG-13, based on the 1982 musical by Julie Andrews and Robert Preston. It is a cute show about a female performer in Paris who gets star recognition becoming a female impersonator, but then falls in love with a man. Yeah. So, as usual,
ensues.
And then, of course, Barn Kids, you mentioned.
Yes. During the summer, we have our three-week Barn Kids session, and that's for kids going into third through seventh grades. Camp actually starts on June 20th, and enrollment is usually at midnight online on Valentine's Day. The show and the camp will be at Bishop Miege High School again. It's a beautiful setting for the kids at 54th and Reinhardt Drive in Roland Park. Denise Trewicki is leading the camp this summer, and they will be doing Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka kids version.
It ends, of course, in December with the 6x10. I'm long, so
that's okay.
But the 6x10 once again.
Yes.
The date for submissions, the final date for submissions for next year would be,
I think we usually say August 1st.
August 1st. That gives you enough time.
To do all of our arguing and reading.
But the show they keep to talk about, the 6x10 Playwrights Festival. This Friday, December 7th at 7:30, Saturday the 8th at 7:30, Sunday the 9th at 2 o'clock p.m., and as Lynn said earlier, if you don't like one, just wait 10 minutes or so, and
you'll like the next one.
Thanks so much for being with us. Lynn Reddick, the Assistant Artistic Director and a member of this committee of the Playwright Festival, and, of course, the President of the Board of Directors, Vita Vicalis. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Michael.
To lay all this out for us, so to speak. We're going to take a break now. When we return, we have more to talk about. In fact, we're going to talk about, when we come back, Music Theater Kansas City and what they're doing in their new location as well. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare to local theaters. Fans of Japanese anime will find much to love in Mirai, a beautifully produced epic that takes on grandiose philosophical ideas in the guise of a simple family film about the importance of sibling ties. Problem is, its themes will probably fly right over the heads of most kids. The movie has received rapturous reviews in many circles, but to my mind, it concentrates a bit too much on pushing its viewpoint without breathing enough life into its characters. Part of this is due to the flat nature of the animation that makes facial expression an afterthought. Mirai is for older kids and adults only. Small children really aren't the demographic. They'll probably be confused and bored. Mirai is an animated art house effort that has plenty to offer for audiences with lots of patience and an affinity for thoughtful abstract ideas. The Guilty is a riveting Danish thriller about a police officer confined to an emergency dispatch room as a disciplinary action. He desperately tries to help a caller who turns out to be a panicked kidnap victim in imminent danger. Essentially, it's a one-man show with all of the action in The Guilty taking place in two rooms at the emergency dispatch center as the officer works to resolve the tense situation while wrestling with his own demons. Jacob Södergren is excellent as the conflicted officer, and Gustav Möller's writing and direction is taut. It's a favorite, I think, for a Best Foreign Language Oscar nomination. The Guilty is a textbook example of what one can do with limited financial resources when there's an abundance of talent and intelligence available. Also opening this week, The Possession of Hannah Grace is yet another exorcism horror flick that's been carefully hidden from the critics. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Underwriting support for KKFI is provided by the Kansas City Chamber Orchestra, presenting Bach Home for the Holidays on Tuesday, December 4th. A Baroque by Candlelight performance of J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio featuring vocal soloists and the Musica Vocale Choral Ensemble, conducted by Arnold Epley. Tuesday, December 4th at 7:30 p.m., Grace and Holy Trinity Cathedral at 13th and Broadway in downtown Kansas City. More information and tickets available at kcchamberorchestra.org.
This is federal worker Kenneth Bate of the Social Security Administration, and I encourage all of my federal worker friends to support KKFI 90.1 FM during the combined federal campaign. Donating a few dollars each pay period can help keep community radio on the air in Kansas City. Designate your tax-deductible donation to KKFI CFC Agency Code 21994. Thank you for supporting community radio.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. In the second half of the program today, we're going to talk about a new organization, part of a older organization, but we're going to talk about the new show they have going on, Music Theater Kansas City Pro. It's their fourth show, and here to talk about it with me is Julie Danielson. She is the artistic director and resident music director of Music Theater Kansas City. You remember the old Music Theater for Young People?
Yeah.
That was her mother's organization.
Mm-hmm.
And she continues flying the mantle and all of that. They have some holiday shows going on at a brand new space at the B&B Theaters over on Midland Drive in Kansas City, Kansas. And she's going to talk about the show they're doing, All Is Calm, A Story of the Christmas Truce of 1914. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, she's been around. She lived in New York for a time. She was involved with several shows around here, did things for the Kansas City Rep, Spinning Tree Theater, Musical Theater Heritage, lived in New York for a time. So you got around.
Yeah.
You got a handle on things.
Yeah, I actually grew up here in Kansas City. I trained with my mom and her organization, which when I was a kid was MTYP, Music Theater for Young People. When I was in college, I got some opportunities to assist the music directors in teaching some of the music, and I found that I really enjoyed that. And so because some of the listeners might not know that at MTKC, which is our new name, Music Theater Kansas City, we do all of our shows in 1 week with our students. And so because it was only 1 week, I could live in New York and I could fly back and do a show because it was only for 7 days. So that's how I was able to start getting involved again, was flying back from New York to come and music direct shows. And then in 2013, I moved back to Kansas City and became artistic director.
Well, that was very daunting of you to try. You know, that's the Big Apple, and you decided to take a big bite out of it.
Oh, yeah. I just knew I wanted to be a Broadway pit orchestra musician, and that's the place to do it. And so I got brave, and I moved up there, and I had some really, really great opportunities up there.
Did you work at some of the famous Broadway theaters?
Yeah, I got to play for Legally Blonde, and I even played Smash, the TV show, and they recorded up in Harlem at one of the big old, it's called the United Palace. It's included in Lin-Manuel's new American Express ad. Have you seen that commercial?
I think I have.
He's outside that theater up in Harlem. That's where we filmed Smash. And then I went out on tour with Spring Awakening, the first national tour of that. I played bass in the band for that show, and I got to work with Lin-Manuel Miranda. He was my boss on Bring It On. I was his music assistant. So.
Wow. Well, you're back here doing shows. MTKC is now doing shows at the B&B Theater.
Yes.
On Midland Drive. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah, it's right on the edge of Shawnee in Kansas City, Kansas. And it is an 18-theater movie complex, and we decided that they'd probably be okay with just 17. So we put on a big smile and went down and asked, and they said yes. So we convinced them to turn one of their theaters into a live theater space just for us.
So you were able to talk them into it. You must be a very good negotiator.
Yeah, I think we had a really good pitch, and they are very, very supportive of live theater as well. So, we have a stage, we have a full theatrical lighting grid, all LED.
300 seats, and we're known for having the most comfortable seats in town. Lots of leg room, cup holders, you can bring popcorn in.
I bet so. Did you have to do much remodeling with the theater?
It wasn't a lot of remodeling as much as it was bringing in, you know, and installing the stage and the lighting grid was the biggest expense and the biggest time. But we opened last year with an MTKC Pro Show, which was the musical version of A Wonderful Life. That was our grand opening.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the show. There's actually two of them.
Mm-hmm.
All Is Calm. It's about the Christmas truce of 1914. It hasn't been very long ago. I remember seeing a documentary about that. And it actually had footage of the soldiers from the various sides shaking hands in the middle of a battle. It became Christmas Day, I guess. And they just stopped shooting at each other. Actually, got close enough to shake hands with each other and all of that.
It's a true story. I mean, it's just, it sounds like a fable.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and it has just in the last 5 or 6 years become a more popular story. There's a movie, Joyeux Noël, that is about that same story. It's not a musical, but it is a fictional movie, but it's based on that same true story. And this piece was created in Minneapolis by a theater company called Theater Latte Da. And their artistic director, Peter Rothstein, was very moved by the story. So he decided to create this piece, which combines a cappella choral music with monologues that are directly taken from letters and journals from the soldiers who were there.
Yeah, it is incredible to believe that this actually happened in the middle. And I guess once Christmas is over, did they go back?
Unfortunately, it was like only about 24 hours. And so it was mostly the officers that didn't know it was happening who then came back to the trenches and discovered that the soldiers had been mixing with the other side. And they got a little bit in trouble. And the war...
Too late.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's just devastating to think about, that it could have been so peaceful. And that I think the idea to me is that it's not a personal one-on-one, you are my enemy. It's this idea of a more broad, general enemy. And when it comes all the way down to just one-on-one, they didn't feel like enemies. They were all just trying to help find peace in the world. And so they decided to have peace together that one night.
Well, it is amazing. And you've put it to music or the Peter Rothstein?
Yes.
I guess he wrote it?
There's a choral group called Contus that is a very well-respected choral group that travels the country. And so they actually teamed up with Contus, and the arrangers of that group wrote the arrangements for this piece, and they originally performed it in Minneapolis. So it's pretty complex harmonies, I have to say. We're working really hard on those. So we have an 8 men in the cast. They're all singing in the a cappella ensemble, and then they step out and do their scene work. And they play all different characters from both sides. So they don't necessarily play one specific character. They all represent British, Belgian, Scottish, Irish, and German soldiers.
But any chance to... One of my grandfathers was what they called a doughboy. And I've never been able to find out why they called them that.
I don't know. That's not in this story. But
this isn't with anyone's.
This is before the Americans joined the war.
Uh-huh.
So there's no American characters in it. So that might have been an American term. I'm not sure.
So it's all original songs sung a cappella by the gentleman in the cast.
Yes, it's actually original arrangements, but they're songs that a lot of people would recognize. So there's a lot of Christmas carols. Obviously, as you can guess from the title, All Is Calm, there's a beautiful arrangement of Silent Night. There's a great arrangement of Auld Lang Syne. And then there's a big medley of Angels We Have Heard on High, First Noel, Good King Wenceslas. A lot of carols are in it. Then there's a lot of English folk songs, a lot of German patriotic songs and wartime songs. There's even an arrangement of Alexander's Ragtime Band with different lyrics that were used to enlist new British soldiers.
Do you want to talk about some of the folks you have involved in the show, performing-wise?
Yeah, it's a, like I said, it's a cast of 8 men, and in this time of the Me Too movement, I was a little nervous to do a cast with all men. But I would like to state that it's a company that is all women produced. So my mom's a producer and I'm the director. We have a female stage manager. So we're giving a lot of amazing female artists some work as well.
Well, there probably weren't any female soldiers at
the
time.
Right. And I contacted the writer and asked him about it. And he said that he actually tried the very first version to have women in the cast. And he said it just didn't feel right because there were no women on the Western Front in 1914. This story belongs to a very specific group of men. And so it just felt better having it be told by the men who are representing the soldiers who were there. So we have 8 men who range from age about 20 to 40, and most of them grew up in Kansas City, and we have about half and half. Half probably consider themselves more actors, and half of them consider themselves more of choral vocal singers, but they're all coming together. It's amazing.
Now, this is one of two shows you're doing, All Is Calm, The Christmas Truce of 1914. It opens on Friday, December the 7th at 8 o'clock p.m. Performances continue on the 8th, which is Saturday, at 8 o'clock p.m. Then we have a matinee on Sunday the 9th at 2 o'clock p.m. More performances the next week, Friday the 14th at 8. Saturday, two shows on Saturday the 15th, 2 o'clock p.m. In the afternoon. And at night on the 15th at 8 o'clock p.m. And virtually the same thing on Sunday, except for a slight time change. Sunday the 16th, a matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. And Sunday the 16th as well, a show at 7 o'clock p.m. at the B&B Theaters, 16301 Midland Drive, Kansas City, Kansas. If you MapQuest things, you need that zip code, 66217, inside the B&B Theaters. Do they have a number they have to ask for, or do they just...
No, you come in right through the main doors. You get to buy your tickets just like a movie, and we're in Auditorium 7. It's just right off the lobby, so we get a lot of foot traffic. A lot of people are very curious about what's happening inside with the live theater, and it's just a great, great place for us. And we rented theaters all over the city for the last 27 years, so it's very nice to have our own home and have everyone know exactly where to find us when we have a production.
I'll bet so. And the concessions are so easy.
You
go to the regular concession stand.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We don't have to do box office. We don't have to do concessions. We don't have to do house cleaning. It's, like, great.
Well, it sounds like a nice arrangement. How did they originally feel about combining live theater with the movies they were showing?
Last year our season was all musicals that were inspired by movies, and so that was kind of a fun way to celebrate our new partnership at B&B. But actually, there are 4 of the kids in their family trained with MTKC. So they had a long history with us, and they have a long history of supporting live theater. So I think it was just something they hadn't thought of, but a lot of movie theaters are working to finding what they call alternative entertainment. So you would maybe have an arcade, or you'd have a bowling alley, or you'd have a jazz club, or you'd have a wine bar. A lot of these movie theaters are trying to have multiple options under one roof, and we're the first ones in the country that we know of to have a live theater side by side in the same movie complex.
If you have questions, you can call 913-341-8156, or you would probably rather they went to the mtkc.org website, where they could get a lot of the same information and things of that nature.
Yep.
But I'm assuming that they could probably just go to the box office and buy a ticket, just like they would if they were going to see Bohemian Rhapsody or something.
Correct, yeah. And it's all reserved seating. So if you have a certain spot you like to sit, and you might want to do it ahead of time, but you can buy them any time at the B&B box office, too.
Do they have the previews of coming attractions?
No.
For the new show?
But we do have a pre-show that we use the screen. I didn't tell you that they left the screen and the digital projector that we use for most of our backdrops now. So we get to have that screen, and so we kind of do a pre-show of our own. So
that is coming up soon, December 7th. That's, a little over a week away. Time is getting short for you to prepare. But it sounds like a very interesting and thought-provoking show.
Yeah, definitely. Around Christmas time, we all think about world peace and those things, and to think that for one night in the middle of a war, just this small group of people decided to be brave and trust each other and find peace among people with different opinions and different backgrounds, it's a beautiful thing that we probably still need to be thinking about today.
It's amazing that that could happen. Probably wouldn't happen today.
Yeah, and this is the 100th anniversary of World War I ending, so it's interesting that we happen to be doing this piece this year.
Oh, sure. And significant that the World War I Memorial is right here in Kansas City.
Yeah, we're partnering with them for some different events and stuff. So.
Yeah, see, this is a play, well, I'm not knocking V&V, but this is a play you probably could have done over at the memorial, the auditorium.
Yeah, and if this goes well, then it might become something we could try to do more regularly, at, you know, every year, something like that, and perform it at the memorial possibly.
Oh, you're thinking smart.
Yeah.
Now, you have another holiday presentation a little bit later on, Music of the Night. It runs December the 28th through the 30th, also at the B&B Theaters. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's just music of the holidays.
It's actually a review of the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. So you're going to get all the hits, Phantom, Cats, Joseph, Jesus Christ Superstar, and some of his lesser known stuff like Starlight Express, Sunset Boulevard, Aspects of Love. But it's all Andrew Lloyd Webber music, and we'll have a live orchestra, a big cast of singers and dancers, and that's going to feature our training program. So there will be a children's chorus, just like if you're familiar with Andrew Lloyd Webber, a lot of his shows have a children's chorus in it. It's kind of his thing. So you've got the kids doing School of Rock and doing Joseph and things like that, starting at age 8, and we go all the way up to age 18. So you'll see some of our really talented high school seniors doing some amazing things. And like I said, we always use a live orchestra at MTKC, so there'll be a big full orchestra on stage.
Yeah, now on previous visits when her mother was here, we talked about her mother's special technique of preparing the students. They have a limited number of rehearsals. Of course, they're probably longer rehearsals.
Yeah, they're 12 limited, hours.
Yeah. But it was like you put up a show from beginning to end in... Was it 72 hours?
Well, we learn the whole thing in about 72. So the first 3 days are learning. Then the next 3 days are cleaning and reviewing and adding tech. And then we perform. So our students actually are very, very well trained in this professional intensive environment. And so many of our students who have gone on to professional Broadway careers have said they wouldn't have been able to do it without this training, because they will get cast in a show and they'll be going on 3 days later. And they said, if I hadn't learned how to do a show in 3 days, I don't know how on earth I would have jumped into this.
Oh, sure.
So we're preparing them for the most professional possible experience.
That is probably good training for them to do that.
Yeah. And that's what we focus on, is the professional training. Yes, we do it through practical application, through production, but we're not just a production company. We really are training these students to have that professional career.
Well, you made the decision at some point to expand over to a more professional-based show, which is All Is Calm. So I guess it's the fourth professional production that you've
done. Right. So one of my dreams when I was living in New York and answering to everyone else's, you know, I had to wait for a job being offered by someone else. And I had this dream of maybe being able to be involved with the creative side and be able to offer other artists jobs and not have to be the one waiting around. So I had this dream of opening my own professional company, and so I talked to my mom, and we decided that we'd have it live under the umbrella of MTKC, and we would just call it MTKC Pro. And the really neat thing is it allows our students to see what that potential trajectory could be for them. And it also shows them that there's great professional theater in Kansas City, that they don't necessarily have to go to New York. As fun as it is, you don't have to go to New York to go be a successful professional performer. So
sure. But it was very clever of you. I don't know how you did it. You were able to talk B&B into giving up one of their theaters.
Yeah.
You're having your shows in that space.
Yeah, and by having the professional company in addition to the training program, we're filling the theater more often. And then it's available for rent if people are interested in, you know, using that theater for something else. But it's really nice to get first dibs on the space.
Sure.
Whenever someone requests it, we get asked, how is this date? Are you guys doing something? Whereas we used to be, you know, fifth or sixth down the line. To get a spot at another theater, so this is just great for us.
Where would you like to see it go? Do you want to get bigger and move into one of the bigger theaters?
Oh, well, actually, we're in the biggest theater. However, our original plan was to knock the back wall out, build a big old stage house with flies and everything, and have it be more seats. We were not able to raise that money the first time around, although I think we did pretty good raising $600,000 as a small unknown organization.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We had some really great donations from some local organizations and foundations. But we were able to still take that theater. We took out some seats and put the stage directly in that same room. So it's just a little smaller than our first plan. We have 300 seats, but our ultimate goal is to continue raising money and to build that large one so it could be up to close to 500 seats.
Yeah, it's always a good...
Someday.
It's always a nice story when people take a chance, do something big like this, and
yeah.
It sounds like so far it's paid off for
it
you.
It definitely has. And the professional company, the same thing. You know, it's like, okay, I'm just going to try it. But we had such a great base built already with our audiences, with our board of directors. We have a great support at MTKC. So adding the professional company was very smooth. And, this is our fourth show with the professionals. So.
Yeah. Well, let's go over the pertinent details again. All Is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914, mm-hmm. will open on Friday, the 7th of December at 8 o'clock p.m. Performances continue Saturday night at the 8th at 8 o'clock p.m. A matinee on Sunday, the 9th at 2 o'clock p.m. Then another weekend of shows, Friday, the 14th at 8 o'clock, Saturday, the 15th. Two big shows, 2 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon, and Saturday evening, the 15th, 8 o'clock p.m. Then the same situation on Sunday, the 16th, 2 o'clock p.m. matinee, and Sunday, the 16th, a 7 o'clock p.m. performance, not 8, but 7, mm-hmm. on the closing, Sunday, the 16th. At the B&B Theaters, the Music Theater Kansas City part of B&B Theaters, mm-hmm. 16301 Midland Drive, Kansas City, Kansas. Are you going to get to have your name on the marquee?
Oh, man, that'll be the day. No, you know, they don't really have a marquee anymore, but they do have the posters outside, and they help us advertise that way. And there's even digital screens outside each theater, and so we can put our poster on the digital screen. So
is noise problem? I mean, if Bohemian Rhapsody is right next door, does
I
that
know,
blend
can you believe
over?
It? I mean, I was like, oh, we're going to hear Jurassic Park booming through, but we don't hear anything, and we have our big full live orchestras and microphones, and no one hears us either. It's really, I was surprised, honestly, but it's very well soundproofed.
I'm glad it works out so well. Then later on in December, the 28th, 29th, and 30th, Music of the Night, that's basically your student company and
Correct.
Children's chorus.
Yes, and I'm telling you, they are amazing, and you wouldn't know that they weren't part of our professional company. Our students are the top notch. And again, full orchestra. That's going to feel like a much bigger show in that sense. Large cast, lots of dancing, and at the orchestra. Whereas All Is Calm is a very intimate show. It's just 8 men. It's all a cappella, so there's no orchestra in this one. So.
And I assume on this one they haven't even begun rehearsing yet, because they'd be outside of
their window. The students
have
not, right. Yeah, the All Is Calm is rehearsing, but the students don't start until the 20th.
All going on. That will be the 28th, 29th. And 30th for that. So two presentations of Music Theater Kansas City. All Is Calm, beginning on Friday the 7th of December, and then Music of the Night later on, slightly after Christmas. So mm-hmm. it's the 28th, 29th, and 30th. All the performances are at the B&B Theaters, 16301 Midland Drive, Kansas City, Kansas. The number to call for questions is 913-341-8156 or on the Music Theater Kansas City website, mtkc.org, where there's links, and you can get to where you need to get to.
Absolutely.
Plus answer a lot of the questions.
Yeah, you can learn more about us and see our production history and all kinds of things.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For coming by, Julie. Julie Danielson, she is the artistic director and resident music director of Music Theater Kansas City, and they are presenting these holiday shows. After the holidays, do you have something scheduled sometime after that as well?
We are producing Big River in partnership with the Black Repertory Theater with Damron in March. So that'll be our next big production. And then we'll be announcing our summer dates at these shows. So
yeah. I suggested to him he should do more collaboration.
Yeah, it's so great. I mean, this is such an amazing theater town. I think we should all work together. So
sure. And that's going to be at the B&B as well?
Uh-huh. Everything's at B&B.
Well, he's at two different theaters now.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, he's at 18th and Vine for one, and then he's down on Blue River Parkway, is it, down south?
Yeah. So, yeah, we hope some people will want to come spend their holidays with us, some good alternative theater opportunities. Yeah.
Julie Danielson, our guest on this portion of the Arts Magazine Show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being with us. Say hello to the mother.
Yes, she's absolutely.
She's been with us before as well.
She taught me everything I know.
Well, that's a double-edged sword. You know. The Jazz Insider is next. Sam Wiseman, he'll be playing some fine jazz for you this afternoon. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. We'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.